I can't get to come to church on 8 hours of sleep, much less 1 hour. No, congratulations for real to the Holly Bearcats and the Wiley Bulldogs, both advancing in the playoffs. And so we got families from both schools here. And so anyway, it's cool. Welcome to Bethel. We're excited to be here today. We are in week number 6. We've been discussing the 7 messages to the 7 churches from the book of Revelation. Today we're going to be in Revelation chapter number 3. We're going to look at the message of to the church of Sardis. And so you can open up your Bible. You can open up your phone. If you don't have any of those, I'll have the scriptures up here. Take out your notepads. Be prepared to take some notes. Write down what the Lord might speak to you or challenge you with today. We'll read this scripture and then we'll pray and get started. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. Write this letter to the angel of the church of Sardis. This is the message from the one who has the sevenfold spirit of God and the 7 stars. That would be Jesus. Jesus says, I know all the things you do and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Jesus said, I know all the things you do, and he said, I know you have a reputation for being alive. Remember that we're going to talk about reputation in a moment. Jesus says, wake up. Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of God. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly, as unexpected as a thief. Yet there are some in the church of Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. There are some in the church who have not soiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Anyone with ears must hear and listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Father, speak to us today. Father, have your way in this service. Holy Spirit, infiltrate this place. Holy Spirit, anoint me. Pray that my words wouldn't be my words, but my words would be your words. I pray that you would open our ears, God, to hear the message that you would have to say to us. Lord, make this message be a personal message. Make it be a relevant message to all of your people in the seasons that we're walking through. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people saying, so I want to talk to you right quick. Actually, it's not in my notes, but something that jumped out to me this morning in first service when I read this scripture and I shared with them, I shared with second service, and I'm going to share with you. In the middle of this message that Jesus gives to the church of Sardis, he says this, I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. And I want to take just a moment and say to you, there is a standard that you and I as born-again believers are called to live according to. There is a standard and there are some requirements. And you know what the standard is? It is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. You want to know how to live your life. You want to know how to raise your children. You want to know how to conduct your marriage. You want to know how to conduct your business. Listen, the requirements are found in the Word of Almighty God. And I know there are some people that are saying that the Word of God is old. The Word of God is outdated. It was for previous generations. Listen, if we believe the Word of God, the Bible says this, standard to live by, and it is the Word of Almighty God. It is not the government's job to set the standards for you and I. It is not the school system's job to set the standards for the standards of your children. It is not a denomination. It is not. It is the Word of Almighty God, y'all. And we have to get back to believing, trusting, and living according to the Word of God. Now, there's a problem right now because there are some really touchy issues going on out there right now. And let's just talk about them. You want to? Let's talk about gay marriage. Let's talk about homosexuality. Let's talk about transgenderism. Let's talk about abortion. Let's talk about all those issues. And you know what our standard is? It's not Cody's standards. It's not Bethel's standards. The standards that I live by and believe by are found in the Word of God. And if I stand on the word of God and you stand on the word of God and voice our opinion, then there are liberals in the world that say we are full of hate, we are old, and we are bigots. Do not allow what culture says, do not allow what government says to cause us to lower our standards. We are here to serve the God that saved our butt from sin, and he's the one that sets out the standards. I'm just encouraging you. I'm just encouraging you. Parents, can I preach a little to y'all today, third service? Because some parents want their kids to be cool, and some parents want their kids to be thought great of and all that. You know what? No. When you raise your kids, teach them the word of God. Don't let them blur the lines. Don't let them lower their standards to be considered cool. Don't let them lower their standards to be elected as cheerleader. Don't let them lower their standards. No. Teach your kids the standards of the Word of God. And I'm preaching to y'all. Can I tell you something, mom and dad, grandmother and granddad, aunt and uncle, can I tell you the greatest way to teach your children the standards of the Word of God are to live them out every day of your life. I am going to preach to y'all. We're in the process. I'm sure many of you know this. We're in the process of Troy Cooper has been my executive pastor for many, many years here at the church, and he's stepped out of that role. And as we're preparing to hire someone else, I'll tell you what we're doing. We're laying out a description of job duties. Here's what this, when you fool with. On a facade. Everywhere we go, we're trying to perform and get the acceptance of other people to impress them so that we'll have a good reputation and we will feel good about ourselves. I am preaching the paint off of the wall this morning. We have to understand what other people think about you matters not. I have tried my best raising these two knuckleheads right here to tell them it don't matter what other people think. I'll just tell you something. I love you. I could care less what you think about me either. I'll tell you what matters to me is what God the Father thinks about me. Because he's the one that redeemed me, and he's the one that saved me, and he's the one that loved me when I was unlovable. He was the one. We should all want to live our lives to impress our Heavenly Father and no one else. We get in this bondage. Oh, y'all, we do our kids an injustice nowadays. Our children, they just want to be accepted. They just want to impress other people. They see us play these games and they see us be phony. Come on, parents. Come on, grandparents. Let's raise up kids that know who they are in Christ Jesus and know that God, they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and know that before they were in their mother's womb, God knew them and God formed them and God's fingerprints. Let's raise up some kids that want to live a life that glorify God and could care less about impressing everybody else around us. Our identity must be in Jesus Christ. Look at me. Look. I am not worthy because I've been preaching for 21 years. I am not worthy because I know lots of scripture. I am worthy. Me, your pastor. I am worthy not because of what I did, but because of everything Jesus Christ did. And you are not worthy because any of your good acts, of how much money you put in the plate, you are not worthy. We are all worthy because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's it. And the moment that we can accept that and understand that, it will change everything in your life. Romans 6, sin might lose its power over our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Your sin no longer has power over you. Come on, somebody. The sin that you did, the sin that defined you, the sin that stains your reputation, the sin that caused you to go into depression, the sin that happened in the past, if you have repented of that sin and you have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, sin has no more power over you. Turn it loose, release it. You have been set free by the blood of Jesus to be an overcomer in life. Quit letting that sin define you. Because what happens is that sin defines us and it weights us down. And so then we do everything we can trying to outwork our sin. If I could just do enough good stuff, my sin will be forgiven. If I could just pray enough prayers, if I could give enough money, if I could cook enough meals, if I could do this, No. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ can we be set free from our sins. Let me give you another one. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. G-O-N-E, gone. Gone, gone, gone. If you belong to Jesus Christ, look at me. Look. If you belong to Jesus Christ, the old person is gone. Gone, gone, gone. Your sin is forgiven. Gone, gone, gone. It is forgotten. It is paid in full. It is gone, gone, gone. I said it's gone, gone, gone. The Bible said as far as the east is from the west, our sins have been cast away from us. You can't find them. I can't find them. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and we are made worthy because the old man is gone. Accept that. Live in that. Who cares what anybody else thinks about you? Live as a new creation in Christ Jesus. It'll change everything. It'll change everything because you know this. You are not like that. You are a chosen people. Look at me. Some of you ain't, I don't know why God chose you. I'm just saying. I wouldn't have chose you. I'm joking. I'm not really not. I really wouldn't have chose you. But God did choose you. God chose you. God saw beyond your faults. God saw beyond your failure. God saw beyond the false reputation that you had put out to everyone else. God saw and he chose you. You're on his team. You're a royal priest. You're a holy nation. You're God's own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. One more scripture about our identity in Christ. Some of y'all, you ain't never fit in anywhere in your life. Can I get a witness? You just a little throwed off. You know what I mean? You're just a little different. You're just a little weird. You're just a little quirky, and you didn't fit in this club, and you didn't fit in that club. And so you went around your whole life trying to up your reputation and impress everybody so you can fit into this club. Listen to me. Let me tell you something. 1 Corinthians 12:17. All of us together are Christ's body. We are the body of Christ, and each of you has a part to play. Maybe you didn't fit in. Maybe you were a little quirky. Maybe you were a little bit weird, but I'm going to tell you, now you are a part of the body of Christ. You have a place at the table. You fit in. You are perfect. You are what makes this body complete. You are what makes this body function. We fit in the kingdom of God, and that is where our identity must be if we want to have healthy lives. Your reputation matters not to your worth. But on the other hand, we live in this world, and this world is full of social networking. Because I know you and you know me, and I need somebody to work and do some carpentry. I need somebody to do me some baking. I need somebody to take some video. Because we live in this world, our reputation means nothing as to our worth or value, but our reputation means everything to those around us. I've tried to tell my boys the same thing. Who cares what other people think about you, but your reputation matters. You better shake hands. You better look people in the eye. You better tell them the truth. You better be a man or a woman of integrity and honest, and you better work hard. He shoes horses. He cuts hair. He cleans windows. I said, you better clean them good, boy. You better make sure there ain't no streaks. You better shoe them good. You better make sure them shoes don't come off, because sometimes you got one chance and one opportunity to make that first initial impression. Our reputation matters. Y'all see that? I just spit everywhere. Sorry, y'all. Proverbs 22:1. Choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver or gold. Choose a good reputation. How you live your life. Look at me. Look. How you live your life matters. How you conduct your business matters. Reputation. Let me give you another one. Watch this. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Live your life. Good deeds. Honesty. Integrity. So that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. As children of God, do you understand this? As children of God, you and I represent God to a dark and a hurting world. There are people in your life, they're not coming to listen to me preach. They're not coming to this church. They're not going to any church. And do you know what kind of image they have of God the Father? What they see in you. Your reputation and how you live your life. Can I just tell y'all something today? Here's the problem. Some people come to church every week. And you go out and you have a bad reputation and you are a poor representation of Jesus Christ. Because you know how to play the game and you know how to do religion and you know how to come to church and you know how to raise your hands and you know how to say amen. But when you go out in the world, you are crooked in your business. You are hateful. You are evil. You are wicked. Your attitude sucks. You are judgmental towards everybody else. And you continue to live this constant life of sin, and everybody else sees it. And you and I have a poor reputation, and it's hurting the kingdom of God. Sorry, but it's true. It matters, our reputation, and we need to live our life so that it glorifies God. Sometimes, and I'm fitting to move on, sometimes we work so hard to impress others. And we have this reputation, and they think higher of us than what we really are. We work so hard, they think we're a man or a woman of integrity, but deep down, we're crooked as a snake. We work hard to impress them, and as we shake their hand and tell them yes, we're tinkling in their boot at the same time. Come on, somebody. It just happens. It's the truth. It is the way it is. This church had a reputation for being alive, and guess what the church, they did? They believed they were alive. But Jesus said, no, you're really dead. And some of us need to deal with our reputation because we've made everybody think that everything is so good on the outside, but at night it eats us up, and when we get home, our marriages are a wreck. We need to quit believing the lie of our reputation. We need to deal with these things. Jesus said, you have a reputation of being alive, but you're really dead. You better do something. You better wake up. That's what he says. He says, you got to wake up. Wake up out of this daze. Wake up out of this stupor. You got to wake up. Romans 13:11. This is all the more urgent, y'all, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. It's time to wake up. Everybody shout, wake up. Wake up. It's time to wake up, y'all. It's time to wake up, because here's the deal. Man, I love church, don't y'all? I love church. I love when it's rocking. I love when she's playing that fiddle. I'm thinking, whoo, I am taking her home tonight. That's what I'm thinking right down there. I love when worship's going good. I love when the church is full. I love when he's on the bass and he's on the drums and Conrad's playing the harmonica back. And I love when I'm preaching. I love when you're paying attention. I love all that, but can I be real with y'all? I'm afraid we've got too comfortable with good church. And I'm afraid we show up week after week and we sit in our pews and we're about to go to sleep. About to go to sleep. During the week, enemy is kicking our butt and we're about to go to sleep. Because we're tired and we're worn out and we're giving ourselves to this and we're giving ourselves to that and we're staying up late and we're focused on this and we just can't and we're just sleepy. And here's the thing, when we get sleepy and when we get so groggy, we miss what God is saying to us and we miss what God is doing in our lives. Have you ever been driving around like we used to rodeo and we stay up late at night? Have you ever been driving late at night and you're so worn out and you give out, you know what I mean? And you just like, you can barely keep your eyes open driving. You roll down the window, stick your head out the window, try to get a little air, pull over at the roadside, try to get woke up, you know what I mean? Have you ever done this? Like I've done it a bunch. Like you drive, like you're going north. And you're like, you wake, you kinda come to yourself, man, you're like, man, I'm halfway between Anson and Stanford. Like I don't even really remember going through Anson back there. Anybody? Because you're so groggy and you're so sleepy that you're not even aware of what's going on. And I believe the enemy has rocked us to sleep with comfort. And he's rocked us to sleep. And we're sitting in church on a weekly basis. And we're still missing what God is trying to do in our lives. Jesus says, it's time to wake up and strengthen yourself. When we wake up in the morning, I love to go wake my kids up and jerk the curtains open. I don't wake them up anymore, but I used to. And let the light in to wake them up. When we wake up in the morning, we splash water in our face. When we wake up in the morning, we drink 2 pots of coffee to get woke up and to strengthen ourselves. We eat breakfast. We exercise. Those things we do to wake us up and strengthen ourselves physically. Can I tell you, we need to wake ourselves up and strengthen ourselves spiritually as well. Wake ourselves up. You need to be strengthened in the spirit. And you know what we do in the church? We blame everybody else for us not being strong spiritually. Well, if old Cody would just preach a little bit deeper to me, you know what I mean? Like, he's kind of shallow, you know? If he'd just preach a little deeper, I could be a little bit stronger. Well, if that worship was just a little bit more spiritual, you know, a little more Pentecostal style, then I could be a little bit stronger, you know? Well, you know what? If this economy would ever get right, I'd just be stronger, you know, a little bit stronger. If we could ever get old you-know-who elected back into office, then I'd just be stronger. Everything would be good. We blame everything else for why we're weak. And the fact of the matter is, it's my responsibility to make sure I'm strengthened, and it's your responsibility to make sure you're strengthened in your spirit. We need to strengthen ourselves in the spirit. Strengthen ourselves. Here's the famous line from King David. It was a guy who, King David, a man after God's own heart. He's going through a tough time. He's depressed. He's kind of wore out. Watch what he does. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people were speaking of stoning him. For all the people were bitter, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Time for you and I to strengthen ourselves. Wake up. Strengthen ourselves to fight the good fight of faith, to strengthen ourselves. Here's what I believe. Can I share with y'all what I believe? I believe the longer that we live and the more we draw close to Christ, I believe God wants to elevate us and take us from glory to glory and level to level and continue to reveal his greatness and pour out his goodness in our life. If you believe that, say a good amen. But each level, each new level brings a new devil. Come on, somebody. And we may be strong enough to succeed at this level, but if we don't strengthen ourselves when we get to the next level, we'll never be able to succeed or overcome the temptations, and it will knock us back down to this level. And when we get knocked back down to this level, we get discouraged and depressed and worn out, and we wonder if God is still moving. Yes, God is still moving, and God still wants to take you to the next level. You just have to strengthen yourself so that when you get to that level, you will be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, and come on down and kick some devil booty, y'all. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. As we strengthen ourselves in the Lord, I'm bringing you to my last point today. Jesus said, you have a reputation of being alive, but you're not, you're dead. Wake up, Strengthen yourself, because if you don't, you're headed for a crash. And then he says this, very important words. He says, there are some people that are in the church that have not soiled their clothes with evil. Jesus says, this church that's dead, there's some that are alive. There are some people in this church that have not chosen to live a lifestyle of sin. Now I'm going to talk to you about sin, and I surely don't expect many amens from you from the next 10 minutes of this service today. There is a difference in sin and a lifestyle of sin. You listening to me? All of us, we're going to stump our toe maybe, and we're going to sin sometimes. But there's a lot of people that come to church, they're not just slipping into some sin, they're living a lifestyle of sin. It's an over and over sin. It's a repetitive sin. It's become a bondage for you. It is wearing you out. It is kicking your butt. It's over and over again. It's continued living and having sex out of wedlock. It's continued with addictions. It's continued with all these things, with a hateful attitude, with harboring unforgiveness. It's over and over and over again. It's my anger. It's my temper. It is wearing us out. There is a difference in an occasional sin and a lifestyle. Style of sin. And Jesus says, as I look at this church, there is a group in the church that said, you know what? I am not defined by my sin. And sin no longer has any power over me. There is a group in the church that said, I understand the scripture when God said, be holy, for I am holy. They understood sanctification. They understood drawing away from the ways of the world. They understood being dedicated to the things of God. There was a group of people that said, I'm not doing what everybody else does. I'm going to live for the glory of God. Which would mean to me, if one group of people in the church can separate themselves from a lifestyle of sin, everybody in the church can separate themselves from a lifestyle of sin, because we are all bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and we are all empowered by the same Holy Spirit. We can choose. Listen to me, look, you and I have the power of choice. And we can choose to enter into temptation. We can choose to continue to live a lifestyle of sin. We can choose to continue to lower our standards to people around. We can choose, or we can choose this. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was a dead man or a dead woman in my sin, but now I am alive in Christ Jesus, and I choose to obey the commandments and the word of God. I choose to live holy and repent from my sin. We sang that song. Y'all was singing it a while ago. Caleb sang it to us. Taking off my grave clothes. Y'all was grooving too, boy. Y'all was grooving to the beat. I'm taking off my grave clothes, putting on righteousness. I'm going to sing it till I mean it. I'm going to sing it till I mean it. Are you really going to sing it till you mean it? Do you really mean it? Are you taking off your grave clothes? Are you taking off the sin? Are you taking off what used to define you? And are we putting on the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that has been imputed into us? Righteousness of God. It'll change your life. Here's what we say in church all the time. Oh, well, we're just, you know what, we're just people. I mean, we're going to sin. We are. We're just going to sin. We're going to make some mistakes. We're going to screw up. Everybody does it. You know, it's okay. God's good and God's full of grace. Okay, I agree. We're all going to sin. But what a horrible mentality to spend the rest of our lives having. What a horrible mentality. Well, I'm going to screw up. Well, I'm going to make a mistake. Well, I'm going to hurt my relationship with God, and I'm going to hurt my relationship with Jennifer because I'm just going to stump my toe. I'm going to sin. Listen to me. Caleb, they took the field. The Holly Bearcats took the field last night to win that ball game in the playoff. Do you think they went out on the field with the mentality of, oh, well, we probably ain't going to win. Oh, well, we're probably going to screw up. We're probably going to throw some interceptions. We're probably going to get beat tonight. No, they went out on the field and said, we're going to win this thing. They went out on the field and said, we're going to give everything we got. We've been working. We've been lifting weights. We're going out to get the victory. I am convinced it would change mine and your life if we took on that mentality. Sin, you may have got me once, but you ain't getting me again. I'm going to be victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Change your attitude. It changed everything. And I'm almost done, maybe. I'm afraid in the church we've preloaded our mind with thoughts of shortcoming, thoughts of sin, and thoughts of bad choices. And here's another danger. We do it with our children. We say, our kids are going to sin. They're going to try alcohol. You know what? They're going to have sex before they get married. You know just well, let them do it. They're all kids. They're all going to do it. Let them go sow their wild oats. You know they got to know. Oh, you know. We misquote scripture. We go, oh, you know what? The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. He's going to stray. She's going to go, but they'll come back one of these days. What a piss-poor mentality that we're teaching our kids. For real. I mean, is that a good, is that a scriptural mentality? Or should we be raising up our sons and daughters from a young age? You know, your sons, our sons and daughters, their minds are like Jell-O. My nanny Cherry used to make strawberry Jell-O with strawberries in the Jell-O. And it was a whole lot easier to put the strawberries in the Jell-O before the Jell-O gelled. Come on, somebody. And we need to be putting these things into the minds of our young sons and daughters before their mind has gelled and before the world has caused it to gel. What if we told our kids, and I'm not saying we got to shelter them, and I'm not saying we got to keep them from the world, but what if we trusted the power of the Word of God, and what if we spoke into the lives of our kids and said, you ain't going to mess up. You're going to live for the glory of God. You're going to keep yourself until you get married. You're not going to give in to alcohol. What if we spoke the Word of God into our children's lives? It might stop them from doing some of the stupid things that you and I did. It must stop them from some hurt and some danger in the world. I know that's strange to us nowadays and not normal. Let me close this thing down, please, sir. Jesus said to the church, you got a reputation. Reputation is that you're alive, but you're really dead. Just challenge you in closing. How about your reputation? Do you find your value and your worth in what others think about you? You got to quit. You're worse than Christ. I just got to say this for some of you today. It is high time you accept the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's high time you quit letting the enemy hijack you. It is time right now. Today is the day. Today is the day where you go, you know what? My sins are paid in full. I'm not defined by them anymore. They are gone, gone, gone. And then some of you, you need to work on your reputation, to the work, your representation to the world. Because they look at you and they go, man, why would I want to serve Christ? Why? They're hateful. Why would I want to serve Christ? They're just running around living it. Reputation matters, y'all. It matters to your kids. It matters to the Lord. Time to wake up. Time to strengthen yourself. Time to change your mentality. Say, you know what? Sin? You ain't doing it to me no more. No more. I have the power to choose God and not sin. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for Scripture, Lord, for challenging us, pushing us, motivating us, Lord. Pray your Holy Spirit would just speak to the rest of us today, that we would leave here ready to wake up, ready to find our worth in you, ready to abstain from a lifestyle of sin, the sin that so easily worn us down. Speak to us in Jesus' name.